we are talking about the pursuit of perfect, how to stop chasing perfection and start living a richer, happier life by Tal Ben-Shahar. Psychologists differentiate between two types of perfectionism, positive and negative. Tal Ben-Shahar invented a word for positive perfectionism. He calls it optimalism. Let's dive deeper into the difference between optimalism and negative perfectionism by dissecting both their views on failure, emotions, and success. Perfectionists despise failure because they take it personally. Failing at a test makes them stupid. Getting broken up with makes them unlovable. Losing their job makes them worthless. This idea that failure is a reflection of who they actually are, that can diminish their worth, discourages them from attempting anything that they may fail at. Optimalists don't like failure, no one does, but they don't allow fear of failure to slow them down. They understand that failure is inescapable, and they are determined to learn from every failure they endure, failing their way to success. Tal Ben-Shahar actually recommends that you should fail more, not less. Just like failure is inevitable, so too are negative emotions. Our need to be perceived as perfect imposes the neglect and muting of our negative emotions. Tal Ben-Shahar said, people would often say that they weren't happy, but as they described their lives and feelings in greater detail, it became clear what they meant was they weren't happy all the time. Perfectionists have unrealistic expectations of what they should feel, and these expectations actually produce more negative emotions. No one is immune to negative emotions. Optimalists know that, which empowers them to experience and manage their negative emotions in healthy ways, which we're going to talk about in the tips. Now on to the most counterintuitive distinction about perfectionists, and that is their rejection of success. No matter what accomplishment or level of success the perfectionist achieves, it's never good enough. Tal Ben-Shahar writes, he is unable to enjoy the here and now because he is completely engrossed in his obsession with the next promotion, the next prize, the next milestone, which he believes will make him happy. The optimalist may have the exact same aspirations as a perfectionist, but he also values the journey that takes him to his destination. We can't experience happiness and joy if we are constantly affirming that we aren't where we want to be. Until you realize that happiness isn't found in the future, but right now, you will continue to blow by your achievements in the pursuit of your next fix. Perfectionists want to be flawless, and Tal Ben-Shahar said the desire for flawlessness condemns us to perpetual displeasure with who we are. So here are four tips to get you thinking more like an optimalist. The first is to stop being a fault finder. Imagine you're watching a child and parent interact. Every little thing the child does, the parent corrects. Oh no, you're doing that wrong. Oh, you messed up this and that. And even when the child succeeds, the parent only focuses on what the child could have done better. You're going to expect that this child has low self-esteem, but that's exactly what perfectionists do to themselves. They are fault finders, always looking for and highlighting what went wrong. Optimalists are benefit finders. They too see where they went wrong, but they choose to look for the benefit and the lesson in order to learn from the situation. The second tip is a platinum rule. We have all heard of the golden rule, treat others like you want to be treated. But the platinum rule says do not treat yourself in a way you wouldn't treat others. You wouldn't scream at your friend and tell her that she's a complete idiot and will never get a job because she screwed up at one interview. So don't talk to yourself in that way. Ask yourself, would you be friends with someone that speaks to you the way you speak to you? And notice when you're being an unreasonably harsh critic and learn to become your own best friend. Tip 3 is to use the ABCs of thinking when you're upset about an event. A is the actual event, B the belief about the event, and C the consequence of that belief. I recently used ABC thinking with my daughter. Amia is 7 and her 4-year-old cousin copies everything she does. It drives her crazy. So I asked Amia, what is the actual event? She's copying me. What is your belief? I want her to stop. What is the consequence? I get annoyed and frustrated when she doesn't stop. So I asked Amia to change her belief from her cousin needs to stop to It's a compliment that means her cousin looks up to her. Then I asked what would be the consequence of this new thought. Amiya said, well, I would feel good. Now, of course, Amiya didn't implement this flawlessly, but it did change the way she was thinking of the situation. ABC thinking helps us remember, regardless of the event, we have the power to decide the impact of that event on us. Our belief creates a consequence, and we have the choice to rewrite the belief. Now, tip number 4 is to stop using all or nothing thinking. Tal Ben-Shahar wrote, "Their all or nothing mindset magnifies every blemish, every deviation from their idolized image." All or nothing thinking says, if you're not first, you're last. If it's either an A or you fail miserably. You're either a millionaire or you're unsuccessful, and so on. So start to recognize when you're engaging in this form of damaging thinking. Now that is it for The Pursuit of Perfect. This book was very meaningful to me, and I know it will be to you too. Now check out the actualization worksheet for an exercise to reframe your perfectionist thinking into optimalist thinking. Let's end with a quote. The antidote to perfectionism and the prescription for optimism is the acceptance of reality of what is, be it failure, emotions, or success. Tal Ben-Shahar. Thank you for joining me, and you make it a great day.